This is the Dare to Dream Physician Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Waylee Gray. Hey, you know how many physicians today are feeling overwhelmed and trapped, living that busy and unfulfilling life? Yet more than ever, we as physicians are keenly aware that life is precious and tomorrow is not guaranteed to anyone. My mission is to help physicians start living their best life now by discovering and achieving their wildest travel dreams. So come, join us on this journey. Welcome back to another episode of the Dare to Dream Physician Podcast. I'm so excited you're joining us today. I have a very special once-in-a-lifetime guest, and I can't wait to introduce him. I have to say that he is the reason why I have this podcast today. It all started with attending a life planning workshop for me, which has led to so much personal transformation. And I'll share a little bit about that later in the episode. But first, let me introduce George Kinder. George Kinder is an amazing human being. He's recognized as the father of life planning. He's revolutionized financial advice, a whole industry, for more than 35 years by training over 4,000 professionals in 30 countries in the field of financial life planning. He founded the Kinder Institute of Life Planning in 2003 after 30 years as a practicing financial planner and tax advisor. George has a very interesting background, which I believe is the secret to his success. He was educated at Harvard, majored in English and minored in economics. He wanted to pursue some creative ventures after graduating from college, but then faced the reality of what a lot of artists and writers face, which is being able to pay the bills. So he tapped into another skill that he's brilliant at, which is mathematics. So he became a certified public accountant and later a certified financial planner. And the financial planning industry is so fortunate to have George. George was the first winner of the Financial Planning Association's Heart of Financial Planning Award, which recognizes individuals who demonstrate commitment and passion in doing extraordinary work to contribute or give back to the financial planning community and or the public. He has also been named one of the top icons and innovators in the financial planning industry, the first of 15 transformational advisors whose vision most changed the industry, and has been inducted into the Financial Planning Magazine Hall of Fame. He has appeared on many radio and television programs. His expertise has been featured in print media such as the Financial Times, the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, Time Magazine, and the New York Times. George is a keynote speaker and has given speeches at professional conferences on five continents. As an author, George has published 7 books. He has 3 books on money, The 7 Stages of Money Maturity, Lighting the Torch, and Life Planning for You, which are considered by many to be the seminal works of the field of financial life planning. And his book, A Golden Civilization and the Map of Mindfulness, George draws on 50 years as a mindfulness practitioner, over 30 years as a mindfulness teacher, and his experience training financial advisors globally to challenge the basic concepts of economics, our understanding of democracy, of space, time, and our own hearts. George is to bring greater levels of freedom everywhere. He has meditative books with art and poetry, and the latest one called Reflections on Spectacle Pond is a meditative guide to living in nature's cycles week by week and moment by moment. I could go on and on. I have so many more great things to say, but I better give him a chance to speak. Welcome to the podcast, George. I'm so grateful to have you here.
Well, I'm thrilled, Waylee. As I've shared with you privately, I've wanted to have this linkage with physicians for many years because I feel that the best of the financial advisory profession, and there's a lot of them out there, are really aligned with physicians in that they think of themselves as caring professionals, as caregivers, really, as counselors in many ways, and as healers. And these financial advisors find themselves in an industry that is dominated by product sales and by large companies forcing the way the interviews are supposed to happen and how they're supposed to serve clients. So there's a lot of overlap. And anyway, I've just been very excited that we're having this conversation.
I don't usually like to talk about myself in the podcast, but I got to start with this story, George, which is how I found you. And it's not really a story that I've really shared publicly. It's a little bit vulnerable, I think. But about a year ago, I was really discouraged working as a physician, even though there are so many things about it that I love. And I was very clear on how this is a calling for me when I applied for medical school and went through my training. And I spent 10 years of my life training to be a physician. And then 5 years into my practice, I felt so much pain. And I didn't even recognize at the time, but I was just looking for an escape from medicine. And I know I'm not alone in feeling that way, because the statistics show 40% of physicians are burned out. And I actually was thinking, well, what else can I do? You know, I'm only 40 years old. First I have to make a living. And second, I can't just retire. Like I got too many things that I want to contribute to society than just retire at that age. And I actually thought, well, maybe what else am I good at? And one thing that I actually, along with training to be a physician, I actually learned how to manage my own money. So I thought, well, maybe I can help people by being a financial planner. And then I thought, well, but I don't want to just be any financial planner. I want to be a financial planner who's going to be honest and authentic, and who can really maybe even help people transform their lives through that relationship. And that's how I found the Kinder Institute, through that research. And it was maybe like a couple of weeks past when I learned about the Kinder Institute, when I signed up for that workshop. I took a chance because I thought, what am I even doing? But I was so fascinated by life planning that I signed up. And I love everything that I learned. There was so many things that even as a physician, you know, like the mindfulness and the active listening, I do that naturally in some way, but not to the extent that you and the Institute teaches. So I learned a lot as a human being by being there, but also I got life planning. And you know, it probably was a 20-minute session that was a demonstration in front of everybody. And it changed my life. And in fact, I shared with you that I went from wanting to escape medicine and just looking for what else can I do, to realizing that I don't want to leave medicine. I love what I do as a doctor. And I was looking at financial planning because I thought a lot of the things I love about being a doctor, I could do in financial planning. But it just gave me that clarity. No, this is what I want to do with my life. And I'm not leaving medicine. I'm going to stay in medicine and I'm going to see if I can change it. But it helped me tune out the noise of the things that I was suffering from. And it was just so empowering. So I'm so appreciative of that. And of course, Dare to Dream Physician, I founded this business to bring life planning to physicians, because I think it's so important. As physicians, as a group, we're going through an identity crisis. When we signed up to be physicians, we have this calling to serve humanity, to serve our patients. And we don't necessarily feel supported in that. And we almost forget along the way because there's so many other struggles. And I think we will all better serve society and better serve ourselves if we become really clear on why we're doing this.
Yeah, beautiful. What a beautiful story. And it echoes so much the stories within my profession as well, where I was stunned. I did not realize how powerful the passion was in the financial profession. What we realized in the financial industry, this was 20 or 30 years ago when I first began to talk to the industry and gather a community of like-minded people around me. And these were leaders. This is not just unusual people within the industry. These were the leaders of the industry, who said, "What? When we're with our clients, our client is number one. And what we want to do is deliver the client into the life that they want to live, the life of their dreams. And that's the purpose of money. But we don't know how to do it, George. What we've been trained in is products and spreadsheets and tax laws and all the rest. How do we actually listen so well that we can discover and form that great relationship with the client so that we can actually discover what their dream of freedom is and apply what our great knowledge is, which is the architecture of money, to what they really want to do with their life. So what we have in common, the best of the financial world and certainly the best of the physicians, is we want to serve the client. And the question is, how do we best do that? One of the things we discovered is what you went through with your workshop, which is that physician, heal thyself, as they say. You can't deliver a client into their dream of freedom unless you've figured out what yours is and are living a life of integrity and authenticity around your own, who you are, who you really are. And it's that's what I think of. I love physicians. I think that's probably true for many of us, because we know that we're cared for. And it's that caring quality that we wanted to find a way of facilitating in the life planning world. So I created a whole system for doing that, a system of training, which you then went through. It's largely a system of listening and inspirational listening so that we catch who the client really is and then deliver them. This notion of living it yourself, that's really a profound thing. And it's where I think it intrigues me. It's always intrigued me about physicians. How do we get the body of physicians to live in a profoundly healthy way themselves, not merely around the products and what they've been learned about the body and all of that, but around their purpose in life, around meaning, because that's really where the greatest authenticity and the greatest health comes from. So at least that's my experience and what I would say. So it's really exciting to be here with you, Whaley, and wonderful to hear your experience described.
Yes, I love it. And I love the statement that's been credited to you, which is life planning is the most efficient method of delivering freedom to an individual. And as someone who experience life planning almost accidentally, I can attest to how that is so true. But I would love for you to explain that. And in my podcast, I've attempted to explain what life planning is. And I actually have an episode just on the three questions. And like you said, it's an experiential process. And I've attempted to explain some of it. But I'm just so fascinated by how do we deliver freedom to an individual?
Fantastic. And mindfulness plays a role in it as well. The process is really extremely simple, and it starts with great listening. So you listen well enough to the client or your patient, as you define them, that they really unravel, they open themselves to you, and they share who they really are, what their hopes and dreams are, what their fears are, what their anxieties are. And so they're opening who they really are to you. And in that process of them feeling that they can trust you, both with the things they're anxious about and upset around, and the things that they're excited and aspirational toward, when they feel they can share that range, then they really open up with you and share who they really are and who they really want to be. And we do the three questions. So you've got an exercise, you've got a podcast, go to the podcast and listen to Whaley on the three questions. Another way of framing this, in addition to the three questions, which takes you very deep into what is most profound, what would really bring you alive. And another way of doing this in a more pragmatic and practical way is something I call ideal day, ideal week, ideal year. And, you know, go at it. And here you are as physicians, stuck working with a big firm or whatever. Maybe it's an HMO, maybe it's a hospital, who knows, maybe multiple different ways of working. Is it really the ideal system for you want to be a physician, you want to be a healer, you want to have that relationship with clients? Is the way it's structured ideal for you? And what I do is I suggest people look at what is your ideal day look like? What is the ideal week? And what is your ideal year? And then let's go. Let's see if we can do it. And particularly for someone like a financial advisor or like a physician, we've got more power than we realize, because we have these skills that people want and are willing to pay for. And particularly if we can band together with other like-minded physicians or like-minded financial advisors, we can begin to create a conversation around, is this really the best way to deliver medicine or the best way to deliver financial advice? So it is the most efficient way to deliver freedom, because we listen, we deliver that trust, and then we go through a process through the three questions, through the ideals to discover what would just be so incredibly exciting for a client that they couldn't possibly say no to it if you presented it to them and say, how about we do this? How about we make this happen? And that's what happens. We call it a moment. We call it lighting the torch, where we present them this gift of what if we were to do this? How would that be for you? And the client gets so excited. And so they're adding all this energy by that excitement. And we've already figured out that we can get pretty close to it. We know we're going to be able to add a lot more freedom to their life than they've ever anticipated having before. Sometimes it's with little tweaks. Sometimes it's with promises over a year or two. But it's something that happens within a relatively short period of time for everyone who goes through the life planning process. So that's something that I think physicians are eminently ready for as individuals and as a community to do that and to redesign, rethink, how is it that we really want to live as physicians and be caring for our clients? And as I said to you as well, Whaley, I think it's something that we might actually form linkages around, because my hunch is that many professional firms of many kinds feel this kind of blockage from the institutionalization or corporatization of our processes, of our products, of our approach, of our markets. So it is the most efficient way of delivering freedom, because we design something that is so inspiring to the client, they can't say no to it. And so the client just moves directly toward it.
That's amazing. This is something that's been on my mind, and I told you it was as part of my life plan, which is that physician-patient relationship, that connection that we have. That's really was the reason why I went into medicine. And in our current practice climate, it's not always easy to stay authentic to that desire. And what I love about what you did for your profession of financial planning is that you brought this piece, you call it life planning, but it is that connection. It's that act, inspirational listening. You brought that as the product. And I think that in your industry, in healthcare now, it is about numbers and systemizing processes. And what I love about what you did in your profession is you said, hey, you know what? This is what people want. This is what the clients want. And they want that trust. They want that connection. And so make this the product. Make this the front and center of what we deliver. And I think that's why the financial planners who have gone through your process and who incorporated life planning into their financial planning firms have been so incredibly successful. Their numbers really beat their competitors' numbers out of the water in their conversion rates and just their retention rates. And I would love to see a similar process happen in medicine, where we don't lose track of the most important thing, which is what's human about being a patient and what's human about being a physician.
How wonderful, Whaley. I would come in a moment to affirm that of physicians that had that as their primary thing, where they really knew it, they embodied it, and their patients knew it as well. In fact, I have several medical stories I want to share around life planning, but one of the things that I did 5 or 6 years ago was I changed physicians. I was in an HMO. My physician, I would rate him as an 8 or a 9 without any question. My original physician, 8 or a 9 on heart and on head, on brain. Really good man, really good human being. But I sensed as I met with him some layer of stress, of anxiety, of something that was getting in the way of him really being there with me. And I sensed it so much. And every time I met him, I sensed it. And I knew that there was another person in the HMO that I'd always, you know, had a feeling for, who felt more grounded around all of that, like he was living who he wanted to be. And so I changed. And that was a funny thing to do, because I'm not sure that the first person was any less caring or any less brilliant in their intellectual capacity of understanding medicine, understanding their patient. And I don't regret it at all. It's really now, when I got the finishing touch of the story, is I have an ailment that physicians haven't been able to figure out. but he is a really good human being and really smart. And we have a conversation. And when I leave that meeting with him, every time, regardless of what medicine he's given me or whatever, I feel better. And I can look at my health over the following months. And always there's some kind of improvement that stuns me. And it's really, I think it's just from having met with them.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the incredible thing about your profession.
That is the power of connection in medicine. And this is becoming my own life plan passion, which is to bring that into the public consciousness. But I believe it. I mean, it makes so much sense. If a financial planner, when someone goes to their office to talk about money and then can leave saying, wow, I'm going to achieve my dream of whatever, whether it's traveling or changing around their day, that transformation, that can happen in an exam room. And it has happened in exam rooms. In fact, that's the placebo effect. People in research, we always talk about this placebo effect, and it's a problem because why is it that when you just give the sugar pill, the patients get better? You know, we got to account for it, but it's because of the connection. It's because of that trust. It's because of that listening. And so that hope, just by being there with the patient, being present and connecting, that we give, it's priceless. And we can't take that away from the practice of medicine. And so I love that you are seeing that, especially as a life planner, as a practitioner of mindfulness, that you are also seeing that from the patient end.
Absolutely. There are so many scientific studies now. And one of the ones that I love is a study about happiness that shows that happiness is contagious. And what that says to me really is that all virtues are contagious. And so what it means is, for a physician or for a financial advisor, is that if you can model the patience that your client needs, or the hope that your client needs, or the equanimity, or the courage, or the kindness, or the generosity of spirit, or the forgiveness that your client needs, or the authenticity, if you can model that in the meeting, that is contagious. The client is going to pick up on that, as well as your wealth of knowledge about the architecture of medicine and the human body. So yeah, beautiful.
And if I could just go back to that, your first physician in the HMO, who you felt like was a great person, has the heart, has the brain, and yet was not quite present. I would surmise that he's probably one of the 40% of physicians in our society right now who are burnt out. And part of the definition of burned out is depersonalization, so the opposite of engagement. And
absolutely. I could see it in his eyes. And I would have burned out is the thing I would have said. The head of the whole HMO, one of their lead physicians, asked me if there was a reason why I was leaving this person. I refused to say something like that because it just didn't feel, but that's what I would have said if I knew it was just private and all of that. And I felt it would help him.
Yeah. And that's my motivation for bringing life planning to physicians, is it causes me pain to see brilliant, incredibly kind physicians really start being burned out, start feeling disengaged. Right. And it's not just for the profession of medicine, but also just for their life. And I was telling you, George, how physician burnout is an epidemic, but physician suicides are also high rates. And it's just when I see the stories and the faces of just recent physician suicides, it just really hurts me that this is happening. You know, where our healers are in so much pain that they don't see any other way but to end their lives. And that is a reflection of our society. And Absolutely. It has downstream effects on not just physicians, but on patients as well.
Absolutely. And I think the one thing that your listeners would gain from is knowing that a life plan frequently has qualities, qualitative elements in it. So when someone's life plan, someone designs their life plan, it may have something about the family and something about their workplace and their hours and all of that. But it frequently has things like, I feel like I'm a healer. I want to be more of a healer. Or I'd love to be more kind in my life. I'd love to not be so rushed. I'd love to be more generous of spirit. Those are part of the life plan. And when we deliver people into life plans, they feel those qualities just flourishing inside of them. And because that's what we do, is we deliver them into what it is that they long for. So those qualities will strengthen as you live into your life plan.
Wow, that was part one of my interview with George Kinder, the father of life planning. I'm so grateful that George agreed to come on the podcast, and George has made such a difference in so many people's lives. And I can't wait to share part two with you. That's going to be next week's episode. So please stay tuned. And I also want to shout out today. I gave a virtual talk at the White Co-Investor Conference, which was an amazing experience. My talk, of course, was on life planning, and I had such a fun time engaging with the attendees during my talk in the chat. They asked so many great questions. I hope some of you guys were able to find my podcast, and I'm thrilled that you are here, and please make yourself at home. There are so many gems. I personally have learned so much interviewing the guests on my podcast, including this interview with George. I hope you'll subscribe and stay tuned to next week's episode. If you have any questions or any interest in getting life planning, please contact me. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Instagram and Facebook. You can also contact me through my website, deardredreamphysician.com. All of this is in the show notes every week. I hope this week's episode inspires all of you to first create your life plan. Hey, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed that episode, please share it with a friend and go on your favorite podcast app to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It really helps us to get the word out there. Also, I am really excited to announce I've started an online Facebook community for physicians. Go and search for Dare to Dream Physician Travel. That's the name of the Facebook group. If you have trouble finding us, the link is also in the show notes. I hope to see you on the inside.